Columbia Workshop, under the direction of Irving Reese, presents The Downbeat on Murder by Charles Tazlow.
Doctor?
Yeah, Marison, it is I.
Have your tea made ready?
Thank you, Marison. I have been thinking of that tea all the way from the powerful spot. I hope it is strong.
Yeah, just like Atlas. It could hold the teapot on its back, Herr Doctor. Here, sit by the fire.
Good, good. The rain caught me just as I passed the door of the theater where the concert will be given tomorrow night.
Your feet are wet. Put on your slippers before you catch cold and rock the house with your sneezing.
The musicians were rehearsing, and the harmony was divine, Marischen. Young Otto Kirchhoff, as so the poster said, will conduct for the first time.
It will do no good to put on the dry slippers if you leave on the wet stockings. Take them off.
I do hope the concert will be a great success, for young Kirchhoff has a load on his shoulders, I can tell you.
And a load of rubbish it is, Herr Doctor. That wife, Margareta.
Margareta is quite beautiful, Marischen.
But of no use under the sun, except for nagging. I've heard her. From morning till night, she nips at his heels like a bad-tempered terrier.
The slippers are on, Marischen. Now, how about the tea?
It is waiting.
There were no calls while I was out?
No.
Here, where are you going with that medicine bag of mine?
I'm putting it away. No more calls tonight.
But suppose that...
Suppose you caught pneumonia and died within the week. Wouldn't your patients survive their present ailments?
Yes, probably they would, Marischen,
but... too easygoing, Herr Doctor, and much too afraid of hurting their feelings. One of these days I shall tell a few of them what I think of their aches and pains.
When one practices medicine, one must also practice diplomacy, Marischen. In fact, any person, unless he or she lives alone and has no contact with the world, must keep personal opinions, true thoughts, and honest words locked up where no one can see or hear them. To see a man or woman in his or her true self would be more shocking to the world than if the world saw them naked.
Yeah, I believe that, Herr Doctor.
Once in a while, a man breaks out with an honest expression, and the whole world at large labels him as mad. And he's tucked away in an insane asylum for the rest of his days. Madness accumulates. Like that storm outside, the vapor of insanity is gathered, drawn up into the brain through the ears.
Are there no vials in your medicine case that you can prescribe for a cure?
It is a growth that cannot be reached by salves, potions, scalpels, or charms, Marischen. I wonder who that can be. See who it is, Marischen.
Yeah. What is it? The doctor is not at home.
It is quite important, Fräulein. But will he return?
How can I say? Birth and death do not run by the clock, Herr Kirchhoff. But tomorrow morning.
Kirchhoff, is that your Otto Kirchhoff, Marischen?
Yeah, it is he.
Oh, come in, Kirchhoff. Don't pay any attention to Marischen. I'm having tea. I'm sure there is enough left for you.
You would be kind enough to leave your hat and coat here in the hall, Herr Kirchhoff.
Yes, certainly. Of course, Fräulein.
Oh, stop being ill-tempered and fetch another cup, Marischen. Come in, Kirchhoff. Pull a chair up close to the fire. You look as damp as a fish.
Thank you, Herr Doctor. I'm sorry to bother you like this.
Bother? Oh, nothing of the kind. Sit down. How is the concert shaping up?
Quite satisfactory.
I shall be there to hear you tomorrow night. I passed by the theater this afternoon and heard the musicians rehearsing.
They have been working very hard.
Yes, so I imagine. You're looking pretty tired yourself.
Yes. I've never been so tired in all my life.
Well, tomorrow night it will all be over, and all Grossberg and your family will be very proud of you.
Yes. Yes, my family will be proud.
Here's the cup and the sugar.
Thank you, Marison. How many lumps, Kirchhoff? Kirchhoff?
I beg your pardon?
Sugar?
Two, please.
Right. There we are. Marison. Couldn't you go and baste the roast or something?
We're not having roast. We're having chops.
Well, then, go do something to the chops. Fit them into their colored paper pants and be sure that they are pressed. The last dressed up chops we had were very baggy at the knees. Go, hurry up, Marisha.
One of these days I shall hang a smallpox card on the door to keep patients away when office hours are over.
How's your wife, Kirchhoff?
She does not complain of ill health.
And Uncle Hugo?
He is well, Herr Doctor.
And your wife's brother, Adolf?
He is himself.
Is he working?
No. No, Adolf is not working.
Did Uncle Hugo get that position?
The one he's been waiting for 15 years. No, the opening has not been made yet. But it will surely happen, so he says. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year.
Oh, too bad. You have been carrying more than your share, Kirchhoff. It's been quite a strain, I fancy. Some men would have gotten out from under, disappeared, lost themselves.
And others, instead of losing themselves, lose their reason.
What do you mean by that, Kirchhoff?
What do you think I mean?
Oh, you're tired, worried, disconcerted of yours.
Yes, that way only the root of it. I am going mad, Herr Doctor. That's why I'm here to see you.
Oh, nonsense.
That's what I've tried to tell myself. But the small part of my brain that yet remains whole tells me that it isn't nonsense. That it's true.
Easy, Kirchhoff. You're shaking like a leaf. You need a complete rest. Sleep.
Sleep? Oh, no, Herr Doctor. I have not slept for 4 nights. I do not dare.
Not dare? Why? Are you afraid of someone?
Of myself. That is all. When I close my eyes, I can see all the years of my life that stretch out behind me. It is laid out like a manuscript. And each thought, each act, each deed, each day is inscribed in stars of music. A familiar melody of days that are past, reduced to black and white notes. Notes that are imprisoned and held together by the 5 lines.
It's an odd conceit, but I can't see that.
That it should prevent sleep? Because, Herr Doctor, at that almost indeterminate moment when the conscious mind succumbs to the infinite ether of sleep, then I can see those 5 lines that make up those stars of music grow wider and wider apart, stretching like the bellows of an accordion. If I did not wake instantly, the notes that denote my past life would go tumbling out into the void of oblivion to be lost forever. I dare not sleep, Herr Doctor. I dare not.
Softly, softly, Kirchhoff.
I have drunk pots of black coffee to keep awake. But now it has lost its effect. That's why I have come to you. You must operate so that I will stay awake. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. I shall go mad.
Kirchhoff.
Can you operate now?
What you ask is impossible.
You mean you can't?
Yes, and I wouldn't if I could.
Why? In God's name, why?
Because it is not necessary. You're suffering from a temporary mental disorder brought about by trouble at home, by worry over your first concert, by too close application to your work. As soon as one or all of them are cleared up, this mental aberration of yours will vanish.
You believe that?
Believe it, I know it. Look here, Kirchhoff. Suppose I give you...
You have not heard all, Herr Doctor.
Not heard all? What do you mean?
I have more to plague me than those nighttime visions.
Oh, in your present state, that is not unusual. I still say that...
You know my family, do you not, Herr Doctor?
Very slightly. I have never...
My wife, Margareta?
Oh, a very beautiful woman.
But have you ever noticed how very like a flute her voice is?
A flute?
One that is played by an inexperienced player, shrill, a trifle off key, almost like the sharp creak of chalk drawn gratingly across a blackboard.
No, it just never occurred to me.
And Uncle Hugo, gross, fat-jowled, and puffing like a great toad, eternally useless, eternally seeking the grand position.
Did his voice ever come to your ears as the sonorous resonance of the bass viol?
Oh, he has a deep voice, of course.
And my wife's brother, dear, dear Adolf, pimply face, weak of chin, his hair redolent of grease and plaster to a bulging cranium, which is a foul and smutty storehouse for all the beastly obscenities which have dripped from mental sets through since time began?
I have heard stories of young Adolf.
Ah, you should know him. You should know Adolf, Herr Doctor. You should live in the same house with him.
Tell me. Have you ever noticed how like a trumpet his voice is when it shrills in your ears?
I have never been aware of it.
A trumpet blown with sharp, accurate, penetrating blasts mingled with ribald peals of vile laughter?
Come, Ketchoff. You've got to get control of yourself. Such thoughts would throw any man off balance.
Off balance?
Ah, yes, Sir Doctor. My brain reels, totters, and goes spinning off into space.
Do you know what happened last evening? The three of them were there when I came home from my rehearsal. Margareta, Uncle Hugo, and Adolf. They spoke to me, talked to me at length, but I could not distinguish a single word they were saying. Their voices came to me with the sound of those instruments, the flute, the bass viol, and the trumpet.
A frightful delusion.
A flute, a bass viol, a trumpet, nothing else, no words. The notes spouted from their lips, bounced against the walls of the room, and ricocheted off up the chimney.
They fell over the lawn like black snow, only they didn't melt. They were lying there this morning when I came out. Heaps, piles, mounds, drifts of black notes. They rustled under my feet as I walked.
Get off.
They had stopped up the drain in the fountain. A cat was carrying one off, believing it was a mouse.
Get off.
Two birds were building a nest of them in a linden tree.
Get off this
God room. In heaven, what can I do?
Listen to me, Kirchhoff. No one can help you unless you help yourself. Stop torturing yourself by giving into such horrible apparitions.
Can I not believe my own eyes?
In your present state, no. You are a sick man. After the concert tomorrow night, I want you to place yourself entirely in my hands and promise to follow the instructions I shall give you.
After the concert? Will there be a concert, Herr Doctor?
Of course there will be a concert. Although I swear I am half of the mind to make you cancel it. There's no telling what may happen to you up there, understand?
I know what will happen, Herr Doctor.
What?
The same thing that happened this afternoon at the rehearsal.
And what was that?
It will be what happened at my house last night. But in reverse.
My dear man.
At my house, the voices of my wife, Uncle Hugo and Adolf, became the voices of the flute, the bass viol, and the trumpet. At the rehearsal this afternoon in the theater, the voices of the flute, the bass viol, and the trumpet became the voices and words belonging to my wife, Uncle Hugo and Adolf.
You said that you had heard some of the rehearsal. Did you not hear them?
No, nor anyone else, I'll be bound.
The first violins did. I'm sure of it. They were smiling to themselves. And the timpano player, he turned his head when my wife's voice came from the flute. Then he laughed and beat on the drum with his stick. The sound was like the rapid report of a revolver. At the first report, my wife's voice left the flute. At the second, the bass viol ceased to be Uncle Hugo and became a bass viol again. At the third shot from the timpano, the trumpet that laughed like Adolf resumed its natural tone and was once more a trumpet.
And did they come back, Ketchum?
Yes. Yes, they came back, Herr Doctor. But I killed them over and over again with a timpano. They'll come back tomorrow night. I'm sure of it. They are not dead for good.
You'd better call off that concert, Kirchhoff.
It is too late for that. It must be played. What explanation could I make at this hour?
I don't know. Look here. Would it make you feel any easier if your wife, Uncle Hugo, and Adolf were not in the audience?
But it's not their physical selves, I fear, Sir Doctor. It's their voices.
Well, by all laws of reason, if they aren't there, their voices certainly can't be present.
I wish that were true. But a voice can go anywhere. It can even speak to you out of the years. A voice that belonged to someone long since dead. Voices travel, Herr Doctor. And you cannot shut them out.
I have taken other precautions for tomorrow night. But they will not avail me.
What precautions, Ketchoff?
I gave the man who guards the stage door a few banknotes and asked him to watch and listen. I've instructed my musicians to lock their cases before they leave their homes, particularly the flutes, the viols, and the trumpets, and to keep them locked until they came out onto the stage. That may confuse the voices for a bit. They'll have no place to go, you see. They'll have to keep out of sight and watch their chance to slip into those instruments sometime during the concert. You see, I've done all that I could. If only I can stay awake until tomorrow evening, I may be all right. I thought you might be able to help me out with it, but if you can't, I'll walk the night through.
You can't walk the whole night in the rain?
I won't bother you any longer. Pray accept my apologies for disturbing you out of office hours.
Oh, disturb me. Bless you, man. What is the doctor for? Sit down.
No, Herr Doctor. I must go. You've been very kind to listen to me.
Wait just a moment. Marischen, I want to give you some tablets.
No.
Oh, you need not look alarmed. They are not for sleeping. They are merely to quiet your nerves. Marischen!
Yes, Herr Doctor, I am coming. What is it?
My bag of medicines. Where have you hidden it, woman?
Did I not say...
That I was not going out. Well, I am not. Get me the bag immediately.
Very well.
Now, listen to me, Kirchhoff. As soon as the concert is over tomorrow night, you are coming here. Bring a traveling case with a few clothes in it. I am packing you off to a place I know of in Switzerland.
But, Herr Doctor...
You must promise to do exactly as I say. For 1 month, you shall do nothing. No music, no books, no writing of letters. Nothing but tramping the mountains, lying in the sun, sleeping long hours. A complete mental rest.
The bag, Herr Doctor.
Yes. Here you are, Kirchhoff. Yes. Take one of these tablets every 2 hours.
You are sure they will not make me sleep?
Oh, have I not said so? Get Herr Kirchhoff's hat and coat, Marischen.
Yeah.
You'd best go home and get some dry clothes. If you caught a cold,
it will be all right, Herr Doctor. Thank you for that.
Both the hat and coat are soaked through and through.
It does not matter. Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Kirchhoff.
Good night, Laura.
Good night.
Tomorrow night, Kirchhoff. Don't forget.
Tomorrow night, Herr Doctor.
Yeah. Close the door, Marischen. Poor fellow. Pull the curtains, Marischen.
Yeah. What is the matter with him?
The very same thing we were talking about before he came to the door. He has been ensnared into an intolerable situation. He can see no escape from his wife, Margareta, Uncle Hugo, and Adolf. He hates them all. And yet, to keep face with the world and himself, he has repressed that hatred until it has begun to eat away his sanity. I hope they won't badger him too much when he gets home.
He doesn't appear to be going home, Herr Doctor.
Huh?
He turned the opposite direction when he left our gate. There. Isn't that he down by the street lamp?
Where, Marischen?
There, walking swiftly north.
Yes, I guess it is. He's taking a roundabout course.
Why does he carry that gun? Has someone threatened him?
Oh, what gun?
A revolver. It was in the pocket of his coat. I felt it when I hung it on the hall tree.
Are you sure?
Of course.
Why didn't you tell me?
How could I? Besides...
Get my coat and hide quickly.
But, Herr Doctor...
Oh, idiot, don't you see what is in his mind?
You think that
he's planning to do away with himself. He came to me for help. And if I couldn't or wouldn't solve his problem, the gun was to be the answer. Hurry, Marischen.
Yeah, Herr Doctor.
I must overtake him. Walk home with him. See him safely inside his door.
Here. The rain has begun again. Your boots.
Oh, the devil's tail. Take the boots out. I don't know when I will be back, Marischen. If anyone calls, take the message. Say I will come back as soon as possible. Kirchhoff! Kirchhoff, wait for me. Wait up.
The girl's husband sees you, Kirchhoff?
I rehearsed late, I'm sorry. Why didn't you eat without me?
And have the pleasure of preparing a second meal when you choose to come in, huh? Have you no sense of time? Have you no knowledge of the work I do in this house every day?
Poor Margarita, she labors very hard, Otto. It isn't right for you to place added burdens on her shoulders through your thoughtlessness.
I don't expect any consideration for myself. I am only his wife. But I should think you would have some thought for a guest in our house.
I have ceased to think of Adolf as a guest. He's been here for 5 years.
Oh,
no. Yeah, hear that, Margarita? He's keeping track of the days. Before long, he'll be charging me board.
I suppose he'll be turning me out of the house, too, before long. Please remember, Otto Kirchhoff, that I, Hugo, have never accepted charity. I'm keeping a strict account, and as soon as that position opens that I have been promised, I shall repay you to the last penny.
And he'll accept it and ask for interest, I'll be bound.
Don't laugh like that, Otto. I can't stand it.
Oh, you can't stand it.
But high and mighty airs we are putting on.
The lady who entertained him this afternoon must have turned his head. Will she be at the concert, Otto?
I suppose we are to be told when we are to laugh and when we are to...
What? What did you say, Margarita?
Are you growing deaf? I said I suppose we will be told after this when to laugh and when to cry.
There's precious little to laugh about in this.
What? What was that, Uncle Hugo?
There's precious little to laugh about in this house, Otto Kirchhoff.
The lady's perfume has put him under ether. He's as fuddle-headed as a country wench.
Stop it! Stop it!
Oh, stop acting like a fool, Otto! And come to the table! I suppose everything is already stone cold, thanks to you.
The dinner is cold, but was the lady warm, Otto?
Seems to me, Otto, you would have more respect for Margarita than to be seen with other women.
Yeah.
I was at the theater the whole day, Hugo, until after 5.
Well, it's after 7 now. 2 hours. That's time enough for almost anything.
Please, I went to see Dr. Krantz.
Dr. Krantz? And why did you go there, I would like to know?
I haven't felt well, Margarita.
Oh, you have not felt well. And what about me? I suppose you think I am in the bloom of health, huh?
I know how you suffer, Margarita.
I know you do, Hugo. And so does Adolf. But do I get any sympathy from my husband? No. He is the one who goes to the doctor all day long, from morning till night. There's never a moment when I'm not in pain. And the nights I have not had a wink of sleep. But do I say anything about it? Do I run to the doctors and pay out good money for advice and bottles of medicine? Or no? And all the thanks I get for it. I'm just a drudge, a household slave. No other wife would stand for it. Got you the day I married you. Why don't you speak? Have you gone dumb? Stop feeling like a man to me.
Stop, Margarita. Stop.
Now, Otto, don't forget yourself. You know you're already greatly in the wrong. Margarita has had her cross. A heavy one, and one hard to bear. And I, a guest within your house, I do my best to be of help, to lend advice, to steer the course, to keep the ship from off the rocks. No thanks I get, no thanks I want. I am content to take what comes, a crust of bread, a life of bliss.
Stop, Hugo! Margarita! Stop that music and talk like human beings!
Look at his face! It's white as death or a woman's breath! What is it, Otto? Too much wine? Or are you recalling a trumpet line? Are you having a vision of soft, white flesh? Or of rounded curves, half hid by mesh? You're going out. You're getting a set. Now, what on earth do you make of that? You better hurry or you'll be late. You know that a frau doesn't like to wait. He picked up his coat. And here is my guest, and there in his pocket is her address. you're in. Well, luck to you, Otto. Have lots of fun. Lord in heaven, he's got a gun. I asked you to stop. I told you to stop, didn't I? How much can a man stand? Hour after hour, day after day, year after year, those accursed instruments sitting in his ears. You, Margarita, with your voice of the flute. You, Hugo, with your bass viol rumbling. You, Adolf, with your trumpet blaring. You were at the theater this afternoon, and you'll be there tomorrow night. But I have killed you all with a timpano. Ah, that frightens you, doesn't it? You're afraid of that timpano. It can be made to speak like this revolver. Why wait for tomorrow night? Why not silence you now? Mother of all creation, Margarita, stop your playing! Hugo!
Adolf, curse your black sword to eternal darkness!
Quieted you, didn't it? That silence you're playing. The three of you lie there on the floor like poor discarded instruments in a pawnbroker's window. Mute, ownerless, tarnished. Why don't you speak, Margarita? Are your strings broken, Uncle Hugo? Have you lost your reed, Adolf? Come, it's time to get into your cases. The damp air on a night like this is not good for instruments. Margarita, Uncle Hugo, Adolf, can't you hear me over the beat of that timpano? The timpano, the tim... Who is the player? Where is he? The instrument is close. It beats in my head like... God's mercy! It is in my head. I can feel the beat of it in my temples. Is there no end to this torture? Free of their three voices, must I go on through eternity with the beat in my ears of the blessed instrument that stopped them? Must I be haunted by the very thing that can give me release? Must I silence my very self if I have silenced them? The lights grow dim. The great conductor of immortal symphony takes his place. He reps with his baton the sense.
Kircho! Otto Kircho!
Hear my straw! Here I am!
Otto Kircho!
Here I am! Can't you see me? The concert must begin. Give me the signal. Give me the downbeat, my straw.
Kircho! Otto Kircho!
I'm ready! I'm ready, my straw!
Kircho, let's begin!
Begin! Begin, did you say? Aye, my straw! Here is my note in your glorious symphony!
Kircho! Kircho, let me in! It is I, Dr. Kurt!
Columbia Workshop has presented The Downbeat on Murder by Charles Tazewell, with a special musical score by Bernard Herrmann. Irving Reese arranged and directed the play, which was especially written for the microphone. The cast was as follows: Dr. Kranz, Alfred Shirley, Marischen, Lily Valenti, Otto Kirchhoff, Stefan Schnabel, Margarete Kirchhoff, Adelaide Klein, Uncle Hugo, Joseph Greenwald, Adolf, Waldemar Caparo. The Columbia Workshop is anxious to have your suggestions and criticisms. Tune in next week for a special radio adaptation of The Young King by Oscar Wilde. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.